Blog Talk Radio.
She used to be on the Real Husbands of Hollywood. Let me see. Hold on. Let me look this up. Oh, goodness. Hold on, y'all. She played in the Real Husbands of Hollywood. She's the first person to play. Kevin Hart's ex-wife on there, and she was so funny and so good, his ex-wife. But it's saying here, this is from, this is from Gravity, and it's saying that actress Erica Ash, who is known for many film and television roles, including stars, Survivor's Remorse, she played in that. She plays the gay sister inside Survivor's Remorse. After the news has died at the age of 46, they say. And after the news of the death started to surface on social media, it was confirmed by journalist Roland Martin and TV personality Lonnie Love. Love wrote, "Sad to confirm my friend and fellow actress Erica Ash's passing. Erica was talented and hilarious, whether it was the show Survivor Remorse or Mad TV. She would put her all into all her work. She would always just be there. Now she's gone. My sincere condolences to the family." Says Martin wrote, "It saddens me to confirm that our beloved sister, the Erica Ash, is now an ancestor. She was 46. Erica was an amazing, talented, funny, and serious actress. I adored her. She was serious about politics and would have been one of Kamala Harris's biggest supporters. Pray for family." Then there's more actress Niecy Nash than to condolences. Ash gained notoriety as a feature player in the mid-late 2000s. On both the Big Gay Sketch Show and Mad TV. She then starred in Scary Movie 5 before starring in BET's Real Husbands of Hollywood with Kevin Hart. She was then cast in her most notable role in Star Survivor's Remorse opposite Jesse T. Usher, Shina Arnold, Ron Riachko, and Mike Ebb. She garnered critical acclaim for portraying Mary Charles M. Chuck Calloway on the series from 2014 to 2014. Then she was also on In Contempt, BET series, and some other things. But they're saying, you know, our thoughts and prayers that people are saying with the family and her friends. Man, this is a shocker. Wow. You know, she was so funny. Like, funny, just a very funny comedic actress. And it's very sad to hear that. It was kind of shocked. When I saw it, I was shocked. That's why I'm late coming on a little bit. I was doing some other stuff, but I was also late because I looked at that and I was like, oh my God, what happened? You know, 46 years old. I mean, that is young today. 46. Man, oh man, that's just, listen, that's why I say, you know, you gotta listen, life is, I always say life can be short when it's great, and life can be real long when you make wrong choices. But at the same time, life is a blessing. You just never know, you know, no one's promised tomorrow, so you always have to just seize that moment and your destinations and your destinies. I was thinking about that today because I was thinking about something. And I'm gonna talk about my It's a Word in a minute, but something my grandparents taught me today. I mean, you know, I put up on my page. My grandparents always used to repeat Joel, that's one of the scriptures they repeat to me, like Joel 2:25, and they'd be talking about, you know, that God will restore to you the years that the cankerworm and the locust is eaten and everything like that. And this, you know, and it's also attached. I always tell people it's also attached. It's not just that God will restore the things to you, but it's also attached to a scripture that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I, you know, God says he'll restore the land to you, restore your time, the time that you have lost. The time that you having where you was playing with it, God will give you back the time to do what you're supposed to be here to do. That's really my It's a Word. I can stop now with that. You know what I'm saying? And here's this young lady, 46 years old, really, she's been in her career a long time, but really just getting into her career. You know what I'm saying? But she still lived her dream. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, wow, prayers to her family, okay? Oh, man, y'all. So, I mean, it's been, let me just tell y'all, listen. Cincinnati was good to meet y'all. I like y'all in Cincinnati. Yes, I do. Oh, my goodness. I said, you know what? God, if you wanted to boost my confidence, Cincinnati did that. Cincinnati, you know, I came for Cincinnati, okay? I came, this little, my little brown, pretty little thing, special Jessica Rabbit. It wasn't even what I was supposed to wear. I was going back and forth through outfits, you know, and stuff like that, because I got Maxwell coming up in October twice. But, so I was like, you know, so I'm like, you know, I had these outfits. I'm like, do I save this one for? What do I do? Which one I wear? And I thought about this little brown dress that I'd never worn, and I bought for a Maxwell concert, but I ended up wearing something else. And so I said, it's perfect because you know I can wear my gold flats. I can flex it. I can do it up. Let me tell you, that dress was a star. I had women, men, everybody. Listen, I was hot in Cincinnati, okay? I was hot like I was in Oakland. I was hot in Cincinnati. Now, I'm hot wherever I go now. Not bragging on myself, but I try to do my best. I try to do my best with what God gave me. God, I try to do my best. I told my dermatologist, I said, I try to do my best with what he gave me. And I served it up, okay? I served it up, and I had so many let me tell you something. The beautiful people of Cincinnati, y'all was gassing me up. I felt so good when I left Cincinnati. I felt like I was a beauty queen, like I was a movie star. I mean, I had three men ask me for, can I take a picture with you? I was like, I don't think so, but thanks for asking. It was crazy. I had two beautiful, like, I went by myself to the Cincinnati Fest. This was my celebration of being cancer-free, okay? So when I went the first night, I'm going to tell y'all, let me brag a little bit. Let me talk about how Cincinnati was. Okay, listen. I went the first night to the hip-hop thing. Oh, it was fun. I had on this cute little, it was cute. It was working it. It was like a top, a mid-dress top. And, you know, some pants, a hug my hip, and my cute little Nikes, which all the men was giving me compliments. And I had two beautiful men sitting next to me. These men were gorgeous, the handsome men. Listen, flirting, they ain't flirting. Flirt the whole time, but they was fun. They was cool, and we was rapping together, hip hop fun. It was like you a real old school hip hop. We are how we like this, you know. They was cool. I didn't even know. They told me their names, but I don't even remember. They were so cool. They were so nice to me, and it was like, oh, they said, you sitting by yourself? Because I don't tell nobody I'm by myself. You don't do that, you know. I'm a Scorpio. So I say, oh, yeah, I'm sitting by myself. They said, you sitting with us tonight. We your partner. So it was this other girl next to us. She was trying to get me in with me because she, them two, they was, listen, them two was good looking men. So they was, she was trying to get in. I was like, okay, girl, let me, I don't want to stop your play. But listen, those brothers was really, they were really nice. They gassed me. The one man looked. He told me, he said, "I just want to say this. I don't mean no disrespect to whoever you with, but listen, you beautiful. I just want to tell you." I said, "Oh, thank you." Another man said, "Yes." He said, "We ain't trying to." I said, "No, thank you. I take all compliments. Listen here, I take them. The porch light. He need to remember the porch light is on always." Right, so it was fun. I had a great time. First night, Black Sheep performed. Man, let me tell you, he looked good. Okay, oh my God, Black Sheep. The member, I think it was just one member though. Wasn't it two members of Black Sheep? But let me tell you, bro, look, the dude, the main dude, he looked good. I mean, sir, we don't look our age. Okay, it's something about Generation Xers. We fly. I'm just saying, let me just say this about our generation. I don't know if we like that. You know, have y'all ever seen that Twilight Zone with the little beetle lady? And she, you know, she be robbing people they use. We don't rob people they use, but we like that beetle lady. We just not getting, our age, we looking good. God done blessed us. I said on my thing today, I said, shoot. I was asking my dermatologist, I was talking to my dermatologist about my skin. I said, you know, I'm worried about my, you know, some clearance because I had some breakouts. And she's like, I can't tell. I was like, thank you. But listen, I brag on it because, you know, they be talking about older women and older things hitting the wall. And I said, I ain't seen no wall. God must have just lifted me up over the wall. And I used to look at women like Sade, and I used to be one to be like, I said, I want to be like Sade. Hey, beautiful and stuff like that. Grace, age gracefully. And listen, by the goodness of God, we are great. Our Generation X, most of us are aging gracefully. Can I just say that? I saw, at the Cincinnati Fest, I saw so many beautiful women and men in our age group. This was our age group. I would say this was baby boomers on up. It was a little, you know, it was a couple old people too, but it was a good time. That's the kind of shenanigans I like. They had it. Now, Cincinnati Fest. Now, before I get started on the first night, I already bragged about getting all these compliments. I had to tell y'all because I wanted y'all to know your girl represented, okay? She represented. All right, but I want to say this for the city of Cincinnati, okay? Listen. The way Procter, P&G, shout out to Procter & Gamble, the way y'all put that festival on, the way y'all do that, listen, ain't no way. It should be. I went to restaurants that were in the downtown area, didn't have no signs that said, Welcome Cincinnati Fest, Music Fest, Cincy Music Fest, or nothing. Okay? Everybody need to be on board. It should not be, I'm drinking the top down. It should not be a store, a restaurant, or anything that does not have something about the Cincinnati Music Fest in it. Y'all should be shut. Cincinnati Music Fest brings so many people in there. Y'all should be shutting down the town. Procter & Gamble, don't let them get away with that. Don't let them get away with not painting the town Cincinnati Fest, because that's what I did not like. As I will say this about Essence Fest, New Orleans, it is the town that's painted Essence Music Fest. You ain't going hardly nowhere where you don't see Essence. Okay? So that's why, and it helps, I think it helps out-of-towners feel more welcome. It helps people understand this is a festival in town, and we're expecting different people, be hospitable, make sure, and it wasn't that the people of Cincinnati weren't hospitable, they were great people. But it was like, you know, I don't care what's going on. That's the main event, baby. Okay? So, yeah, I hope y'all do better. I hope that it gets better as far as the town from Kentucky line all the way all through Cincinnati should be nothing but a Cincy Fest. Everybody, people just should know. Okay? That's just my personal opinion, okay? Now, and that wasn't against the people of that create Cincinnati Fest. They did a wonderful job. It's just that, you know, sometimes here's what I think. Because Cincinnati strikes me, reminds me of my hometown, Kansas City, Ohio. Because I used to go to Ohio a lot when I was little because a lot of my family, my grandmother grew up in Cleveland, but she moved as a teenager to Kansas City. But my great uncles and all of them used to still live in Cleveland, Ohio. So when I was a little girl, we used to go to Cleveland a lot. And Cleveland and Ohio is always just struck me heavily. I've never been to Cincinnati, but it always reminds me a little bit of Kansas City. Kansas City is a very, it's an interesting town, full of classism and a lot of racism. I mean, it's kind of trying to go out of that. But you can still see, you can see the dividing lines. You can see the certain things and stuff like that. And I could be wrong, Cincinnati. If I am, forgive me. But it seemed like, you know, in some of the white establishments, I didn't see a lot of that. You guys need to make sure they putting up for Cincinnati Fest, because people come in their establishments too. And sometimes in certain cities, like, because Ohio has always had that little feel of racism too, you know what I'm saying, and stuff. I'm not saying that is, but I'm just saying that maybe a black event, some people don't think it's important to put that because it's R&B artists and stuff like that. Oh, well, that's not the crowd we attract. But you never know who's in your restaurant. You never know who may want to come to see these great artists, okay? I saw a lot of white people there at the Cincinnati Fest. It was mostly black, but I see a lot of black, some white people too, okay? So what I'm just saying is the town should be painted. Don't let them segregate the Cincinnati Fest, okay? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You make sure that every restaurant, because black people are coming in from everywhere. Everybody has a sign. Everybody has things up saying, hey, welcome to Cincinnati. Welcome to Cincinnati Fest, okay? Now, well, for the good thing, and it may, you know, that may be that little element of separatism there, because I know that happens in my city, in my hometown. I ain't gonna lie. I am not going to lie about that. Okay, so, yeah, it's always been a sense of, you know, a little racial stuff and everything like that. Okay, that's everywhere in America, but certain cities have it, and it's subtle. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. But I love the festival. Let me just say to y'all, Cincinnati, okay, festival, you owe me nothing. You owe me nothing. Now, you do owe me some Tide and some of that stuff, because I didn't get up out of my seat to go up there and give me some Tide and some Swift. Procter & Gamble, y'all can send me some stuff, some samples or something. Shit. I ain't got time to go up there and sit. But listen, I love the festival. Essence, they on your ass, okay? Listen, let me tell y'all. It was a party every night, and partly because it is catered to grown folks. And I done became a grown folk, and I love that shit. You know, I got a youthful spirit, but I'm a grown folk. You know what I'm saying? I'm a grown folk, okay, and I love it. I had a blast. It wasn't a night. See, let me tell you what I do. Before I go to out of town sometimes to things, I started to learn. I said, I'm going to pray for my people when I go to concerts and stuff. I pray for the people sitting next to me because I don't have no job. Because sometimes at concerts, people be crazy and stuff. So I pray for, I say, God, seat people next to me that got it going, you know, that's nice and kind or whatever like that. Listen, Cincinnati Fest, I had nothing but the, I have to tell you, every night I had great folks next to me. Okay, every night. I can't even explain. And you know, it was really nice. Every night I did not have a bad group. When the first night I saw KRS-One. Well, the show started off with Black Sheep. Black Sheep was dope. He had the crowd hype. Shout out to the DJ there too. The DJ had the crowd hype beforehand, playing music as everybody started filling in. It was at the Brady Center in right next to Paycor, right? Not too far from Paycor. But before, let me stop. I'm rushing. I'm going rushing to that night. Let me tell y'all, let me talk about how dope the Underground Railroad Museum is. Shout out to the people who do the Underground Railroad Museum. If you make a special trip as a black person, you should make a special trip as a black person to Cincinnati to see the Underground Railroad Museum. I enjoyed myself. Okay, I went there first because my hotel room wasn't ready. You know, left my bags at the hotel, came back, came out. I already had a ticket for the, because I bought my ticket ahead of time for the, you know, for the Railroad Museum. And because I, you know, it was the day before. I didn't know if it was going to be a crowd or not, you know. So, listen, went in. I mean, let me tell you, they have everything about the slave trade, so much information regarding the slave trade, current slavery today. Also, what happened to us in our journey, our ancestors' journey in America. Man, listen, let me tell you something. Every time I see something, I feel like God be giving me a reminder, you know, because sometimes I be like, when I be seeing how you Negroes is acting about Kamala Harris, I be wanting to give up on y'all. But then I see something, that God remind me about the Underground Railroad, all the stuff that we have been through. And I ain't knocking you if you want to vote for it. Vote for who you want to. But please don't be letting her. Let me tell you something. Our ancestors, what they went through, it wasn't normal, it wasn't right, it was psychotic what slavery did. Me and a young lady was on the plane talking about slavery, and I was saying how it's so close, because she was telling me about the story about molestation and her family or something like that. It wasn't her, but it was a family member. And she was saying, you know, it was a bloodline, you know, it followed them down the bloodline. I was telling her this story I had heard about. And I said, what we don't realize is how we are only 100 and, like maybe 130 or 140 years removed from slavery. Not many generations back, 3 to 4 generations from slavery. Maybe four to five, I'll say. What was done to black people in slavery put tremendous burdens of not just mental illness, But abuse, hurt, anger, depression, hatred of oneself. Can you imagine? I mean, my grandma's always like a feisty chick. You know, her and my grandpa, they feisty. And my great-grandmother on my grandfather's side used to tell me she had to move out of Mississippi because she said her kids was feisty. They weren't taking none of that, you know, drink at the white water fountain. And my grandma said, I never drank at no white water. I didn't pay no attention when I was down in the South. She said, girl, they used to tell me I would get in trouble all the time. She said, I'd be going right to a water fountain. But my grandma was like that. My grandma, that's where I get it from. All the military stuff. She used to tell me all about it. She said, you're just making up all that white guilt with your young self. my grandparents used to tell me about how the South used to be. And when I was little, I would go down to the South, and I can remember my great-great-grandfather. I knew my great-great-grandfather. Let me tell you something. I've been blessed, okay? I knew my great-great-grandfather, and I would go down to his farm sometimes and visit him. And my great-great-grandfather, I knew my great-great-grandmother. Well, not my real great-great-grandmother. I knew the woman who all our family knew. My real great-grandmother, there's a story behind her. And even from slavery, that she had kind of had a lot of issues, but that's a whole other story. But I knew a lot of my family. So I would go down to his farm, and I remember us going to town to Brinkley a lot of black people, you know, we come from the Arkansas area, Mississippi area, you know, are migrated up through the north and stuff like that. Even my daddy's family is from Arkansas and New Orleans. So a lot of our ancestry and stuff is in those places. And so when I would go down there to visit him as a little girl, I can remember going into town with him, and this is in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and he always called us sister. He never called us sister or something like that. So, you know, and he would see white people who were much younger than him, and everybody in town knew him. Everybody knew our family. He'd be like, "Hi, Gus." This was like a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old, and he'd be like, "Hi, Miss Jane. How you doing, Mrs. Annie today?" And I'd be like, "Why is he calling him Miss? They should be calling him Mr. Gus." I knew that as a kid, and my grandmother would tell me that's because, you know, this is how they do down here. And, you know, in the South and stuff like that, and what he grew up in and what he experienced. And my great-great-grandfather lived a long time. He lived until when he passed away, I was in college, and I was at ORU. I was in my 20s because I went to ORU late, okay? So I had transferred from ORU, transferred to ORU. And he died, and I even witnessed him. I remember my great grandmother passing away and him coming to his daughter's funeral, and he was in his 90s. He is a very powerful man. You see, he lived until like he's about 108, 110 or something like that. Crazy. But so you see that the burden of race and what racism is, so you have to protect that journey. That's what the Jewish people do. The Jewish people don't let you play with their shit, and I appreciate that. You know, they don't let you play with the Holocaust. They don't let you play. We the only ones that let people play with stuff because we ashamed sometimes. A lot of black Americans have been taught by bourgeoisie, not all bourgeoisie, but a lot of bourgeoisie, to be ashamed of what the slaves went through. But no, you're supposed to be proud of them, because if it was not for them, you wouldn't be here. And the bourgeoisie is what's pushing this Kamala Harris thing. Kamala Harris is not full black, and she's not a black American descendant of slaves. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you guys are giving her your historic value and letting her go without asking her the hard questions about how she grew up, who she is. Really who she is a woman who is the third black. Her father is of mixed Jamaican descent from an elite Jamaican family. her mother is from a caste system in India. If you know what a caste system is, if you don't, you need to look it up. She's from a caste system, the elites of a caste system in India, and these are the people she was raised with. I know she loves to give the civil rights narrative. They were civil rights workers. Girl, who were you, and who were they? And what do you, oh, you're not Black America, so we need to know if you're for Black America. Quit giving people your historic value. It costs people their lives. That shit is dipped in blood. And to give it to just anybody and let them up there play you with songs of freedom, telling you about them. I cook a mean pot of greens. I cook some greens, and I put them in a bathtub. I knew when she said bathtub, I said, my grandma just passed out on the floor. You told her that you just put some greens in the bathtub. All Black America knew. Everybody's like, bathtub? Girl, you don't cook no greens. You don't clean no greens in no bathtub. Sidebar. I had an auntie who was very eccentric. My great-grandfather's daughter, he was my great-grandmother's sister, okay? She would come to visit us. And one holiday she was there. So, like, this was in the 70s, early 80s or stuff like that. So everybody be in the house. We had cousins there one year. It was crazy. It was. And so my grandma was cooking. Everybody was cooking. So my aunt Geneva. I love her. She was in Jet Magazine. Okay, I used to go visit her in Cleveland too. She was in Jet Magazine years ago. Okay, let me tell you how eccentric she is. So we have eccentric spiritualists in our family. So understand why I'm such a spiritualist, because they are all through my family. Okay. Including my Papa Gus. My Papa Gus was a reverend, and so was, and my grandfather is a reverend. That is a minister. He's an evangelist now. And then my grandmother was a guy. They're both gospel singers. So I have lots of spiritualists. And my great grandfathers was gospel singers, and they were spiritualists too. Okay. So, and my mama is definitely a weird. That's a whole other story. Okay. That's somewhere else. That's space, out of space. But I have lots of spirituals in my family, even my uncle's spirit. Everybody's spirit, we are very spiritualistic people, okay? So, but my Aunt Geneva was so eccentric that she buried her car. I gave her car a funeral. No lie. My grandpa used to say, my grandfather, when he would talk about it, he said, don't tell nobody, because remember we got the Jet Magazine, it was like in the late 70s, he said, my grandpa said, don't tell nobody, you can, and them crazy, she crazy as, what did grandpa say, she's crazy as two cat hairs or something, he said, shit, crazy ass. But she was deeply spiritual. She passed away, and when you go to her house, I remember I'd go to visit her house in Cleveland, and she had all these signs on the walls and stuff like that, all the crosses and stuff. It was just really weird, just strange, okay? And when she passed away in a house fire. But the doctor, I remember the people said they found her on her knees praying, okay? So we got tons of spiritual. Even my great-great-grandmother was a spirit that who everybody say I remind them of on my mom's side. She was a spiritual, very spiritual. So it's a very spiritual thing, right, running through the family. But she was really wild. You know, she would do wild stuff. So she's very eccentric. So she was there at Christmas time. I think it was Thanksgiving. I can't remember. And I remember just being in the kitchen, you know, doing little stuff. Because they would have me cleaning chitlins when I was 7, 6, okay? Nah, if you grew up in Generation X, you had to know how to cook. All right, so they were, you know, I would be in there, and so I remember my Aunt Geneva came in. She goes, we called her Aunt Jenny. She said, baby, y'all don't need to be cleaning them chitlins like that. She had brought some chitlins too, right? And so it was all kind of food there and everything like that. And Grandma was like, well, wait a minute now, how you clean your chitlins? And she said, well, all I'm going to do is sit my chitlins on this pot here, and I'm going to boil them in water, and everything going to fall off. You should saw all the black people, everybody, my aunts, all my cousins and everything looking like they look, everybody was looking at that. And so she said, oh, okay, I never heard of that. My grandma trying not to hurt her feelings because she's older and stuff like that. And she's eccentric. My grandma knows she was eccentric. My grandma said, okay, all right then, all right, go and put them on the stove there and boil them and everything. So she put them on the stove, took them out the thing, put them on the stove, boiled. She went to the other room, watched TV. Everybody else was in the other room. My grandma whispered to all the people in there. That's the mate that was cooking. She said, you make sure you put her chitlins in a separate pot there and mark them. Aunt Jenny's chitlins. Because, child, we ain't eating no chitlins that ain't been hand-picked. Clean. And all my cousin was like, I know that's right. I yes, honey, you honey. We can't believe you got to go over that stuff again. All that stuff. So they marked her chitlins. I'm telling you, did nobody touch that shit. That's how they would have did Kamala Harris's greens, okay? Soon as Kamala Harris come in this our house talking about she done put greens in a bathtub where you wash your ass, oh, no, they would have, Them, especially them older people back then, they would have been like, what? And they were super cleanly, a lot of them. So, you know, I knew Kamala wasn't from a black American background because I know how black Americans act. I know how, you know what I'm saying. And it doesn't mean that we don't have similarities with other groups. But I just know, and we do because our culture was spread out through all the world. So a lot of people got ideas and things from us. You know, they put us on TV and showed everybody what kind of culture we were living like in the U.S. So I've said that time and time again. But don't give your cultural historic value to anyone. I mean, I don't know why y'all do that. Here's the truth. We have never had a black American president that was a descendant of slaves. We celebrated Barack Obama for symbolism purposes, but I didn't even realize that. I remember at the time, and then when somebody pointed out to me, I was like, he is Kenyan. We still have yet to have somebody who is of black American descent. And I remember my great-grandparents, everybody said, we'll never see a black man as president, meaning a black American man. They weren't shocking. It ain't really as shocking about Barack Obama when you get he's biracial. And same thing with Kamala Harris, biracial immigrant. But that is nothing like the life of American descendants of slaves and what we grew up in and who we are as a group of people, urban people, and what we've been through and everything like that. She should not have your cultural value placed on her. That is not who she is. She deserves to have her own cultural value placed on her so that you can see her clearly. And when you cast your vote for her, you can know she might not be like us, but is she for us? But when you guys just start passing people through and giving people your cultural value, here's what I say this. There is nothing wrong with having an affinity for another group of people. You know, having an affinity for other cultures. I have an affinity. I love the history of Haiti. I even bought a video about this. I love how I was introduced to the history of Haiti is when I was a little young girl and I played in the play. We did a play I was like seventh or eighth grade. Believe it or not, we did a play that was based off the Color Girls in the eighth grade. We were in advanced acting class and we did a play. And I played one of the women. I played was a woman who fell in love with the little girl who fell in love with Toussaint Louverture. Right? And I was like, who is that? I remember going and getting a book and everything, and then my grandma said, you don't know about the Haitian Revolution? And I remember reading about it, and I was like, wow, they was our first black Republican. But it was black American folks that really introduced me. Listen, let me tell you something, no defense, because back in those days, especially, a lot of Haitians just got proud about who they was. The only person I used to see proud about Haiti in the celebrity world was Wyclef. But a lot of y'all used to say, I'm from the West Indies. But it was black Americans who up Tucson Lobsher and stuff like that, who would talk about something, because we were always looking for a connection. It wasn't that we was dogs, but it was a lot of times a lot of people would come here from Haiti and be ashamed to be Haitian. Oh, I know, because I had friends from all over. So that's a, so I had an affinity. I have an affinity for them, but I don't want to take their cultural value from them. I'm not Haitian, but I respect what was done there. You know what I'm saying? What a beautiful people and a beautiful vibe to have. You know what I'm saying? It's oh my God, to be the first Black Republic to walk in the bloodline of what a Toussaint Louverture and other great generals and other great people that fought in the Haitian Revolution. I love that shit, okay? So, listen, that doesn't mean I just go over to Haiti and pretend like I'm Haitian. What? Well, I say I want to run for president of Haiti, and I start telling y'all how I like, I start talking like, you know, y'all, what y'all be saying, what's up, how y'all be, I start talking the language and everything like that. I start trying to act like, I mean, it's nothing wrong with having affinity and knowing what you are and loving the people, even being adopted by you, but I'm still not you. And I wouldn't go over into Haiti and try to run for president and hide up under the Haitian culture and act like I'm Haitian. That wouldn't be fair. What I would do is say, hey, I love these people and I love this culture, and if I can be of service to you because I love you, and this is how I want to prove to you that I respect what you've been through. I respect who you are. Not talk bullshit, because Kamala Harris and them been talking bullshit. They've been letting everything over here, they ain't her and all of it. They are no better than what y'all think the Republicans are. Worse. I always say Democrats are the worst, because Malcolm X used to call them the wolf. And if Malcolm X was saying that 60-something years ago, and you Negroes are still in the same position y'all in right now, see, y'all got to get me off the Cincinnati fence. But I'm getting back to it. Then that's, you know what I'm saying. So don't let anybody take your cultural value from you, okay? Don't let people they don't deserve to have that. That is yours. God brought you through that lineage for a reason. Value it. It doesn't mean you can't have affinity and love, deep love for other people. That's what people don't get. People are getting so offended that, you know, groups like ADOS and FBA and stuff are out here saying, hey, we are a different culture and a different people. And I understand why they're getting offended, because what we sometimes fail to understand as Black American culture is that, as I said before, our culture has been sold to y'all all over the world, and we influenced everybody, whether y'all like to admit it or not. Over in Africa, one of my African friends said, she said, why y'all trying to come over? Why y'all be thinking about coming back home? She said, they don't be like Africans. They act like y'all now in all these countries. They even try to dress like y'all. But we've been having so low self-esteem, we don't see our influence over the world. And so a lot of people, when they see us saying, hey, this is our cultural value, this was dipped in blood, dipped in the blood of our ancestors, and we can't just let you run around in front with it. That's what it should be. When somebody come over here and try to play like she's trying to get freedom, Beyonce, you a dummy giving her the lyric, the thing to freedom. Okay? You smarter than that, Virgo. Listen, what she's trying, you know why she's trying to use that song? Because that links her to the civil rights movement, and the civil rights movement links her to our heritage. She is not like you. Did not Kendrick Lamar just make a song, They Not Like Us? And that's not to oust anybody. If I go over to Haiti to live, I understand I am not like Haitians, whether I love them or not. okay? But you can love and have a faith. I always do. When I hear people, when they can't give Black America love, I be like, all right, that's how it's going to be? That means you never loved us. You never loved the culture. You only love what you could get out of us, which how you could move. When people can't admit that we a separate culture, I can't respect you. So I got off on that, talking about my family history, but that's what I'm saying. Understand what you were born in. Understand, even if you're from a different culture, you're from Jamaica today, or you're from Trinidad, or wherever you're from, Africa, whatever country, value your cultural heritage. That doesn't mean that other people can't influence you. Black Americans have influenced a lot of people. And that don't mean you don't have to, you can't show love and respect. Yes, you can. Didn't say anything less about you. There are some people who go over to other cultures and they become such love, they have such love for the other cultures, the other culture adopts them. But they always know, hey, this is still not of my bloodline. It's my bloodline, but it's not. You know, it's an adopted heritage, and I got to be respectful of it. So, yeah. So I was saying all of that because I was linking it. I done got lost now. I was linking it to something in the hip-hop about Cincinnati, okay, about the Underground Railroad and our rich heritage, the Underground Railroad Museum and our rich heritage. It was so powerful. They had, and I haven't posted pictures of it yet. I'm going to post some pictures up online and kind of up them. But if you ever get a chance to take a trip to Cincinnati, please, even for just for the Underground Railroad, go and do so. And they even have this special one going on right now, which is so funny. I was just having a discussion with somebody about, because I was glad we were talking about slavery. Yeah, I was talking to somebody, and you got to think about, I was saying, the extra 100 years and how our families had to, people had to buy the green book and shit just so they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't go to the wrong spot. Can you imagine living like that? You know what I'm saying? Living where you got to have a green book to get through from one destination to another because you might run into the Klan or some crazy-ass white person want to hang you. I want to put you, want to endanger your family and shit just because you black. They had a series up, a thing, a special up on the green book and what the green book was. And inside the green book, they have you go through this, when you go through the green book, thing they have up, you will see inside they'll have different places that were popular to go to in the Green Book all over the United States. And one of them was Gates Barbecue, right? So it was pretty cool. Gates is from my hometown. So they had that up. They had the history. They have Gates sitting there in a sign from Gates and stuff like that in the archive and what Gates meant to the Green Book and all this stuff. So it is so dope to see. Okay, love your heritage. Protect it with all you got. Your ancestors did so much for you to be able to do the bullshit you do today with Kamala Harris. They be sad that y'all up there doing, just letting her have y'all cultural stuff because y'all feel like y'all scared of a man that Trump doesn't want to be no more dictator than Kamala does. Shit. Kamala come from a caste system. Shit, y'all talking about Trump. Kamala just as Trump as Trump, at least, you know what the guy said about Trump? At least Trump is trying to slow down globalism so our black asses can catch up. Listen, he ain't doing it for us, but it gives our black asses a chance to catch up. At least he's for closing them borders so that your competition won't come in here taking up your work. They're already doing it. There's already been complaints. I mean, look over there in Minnesota. I was reading the other night how they're giving some Somalians and stuff money for relocations in Minnesota. They ain't gave your black ass. You don't work. You know, your blood is dipped in the soil, and they ain't gave your ancestors that. You should be, Joe Biden and them and Kamala and them should be on your hit list. You should be like, you either for reparations or you don't. You don't get this vote. At least Trump is over here trying to shut down the borders. He might not be about us, but it's going to help us. Shutting down that border is going to help us. slowing down globalism gonna help our ass? Cause we the ones ain't prepared. We got to look at the bigger fight. I look at the bigger. I play chess, not checkers. Shit, I'm trying to look at the bigger fight. I'm like, shit, Kamala and them trying to get, run us off the map because Kamala is from an immigrant class. And then when y'all find out that she's more Trump. I was talking to somebody. I quit just even talking to him about it because it was just ridiculous. Black people try to make up every idea. Well, she looks black to me. The fuck? Listen. She is from, her family was from a castle, so it was not surprising to me what she was doing over there in San Francisco. Has a prosecutor, has a prosecuting people for truancy laws who had real excuses for why their kids and stuff was out of school. Keeping people in jail longer than what they should. Okay, I got to go to break, y'all. Okay, I'm going to go to break, and I'm going to come right back. I'll pick up from where we at, and we'll talk, get back to the Cincinnati Fest. But meanwhile, I'm going to let y'all hear your Q-tip get involved. Taking a break. Be right back in a moment.
Will never not be a gem, okay? All right, so I am back. I was talking to you about cultural heritage and protecting it, talking about Kamala Harris, how she's running around here hiding up under a darkness. Listen, most of the time, I want y'all to understand something, okay? Politics are people who want to be politicians, usually very early in life, they start, especially if they want to ascend to the heights like presidents, it's never an accident. Vice presidents and stuff like that, they usually pick their schools, pick how they want to go to school. It's not, listen, like Barack Obama he didn't have the background that a lot of black male, urban black men do. But what he did is he picked community service. He picked a wife that was Adolf. And that's how people learned to trust Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama, that's how he got state senators, okay? Because Barack Obama had to work in the community. Now, Kamala Harris is a very different story, okay? Kamala Harris went to Howard and became an AKA, which, you know, she did all of that because she knew you would identify her with blackness so that later in her political career she could hide up under that protection. But Kamala ain't like you. Kamala grew up in wealth. Most of black America, except if you bourgeoisie, which is less than 1% of us, grew up in urban centers across the country, lower middle class, poor, barely lower middle class. She was raised by an Indian mother. I think she's still estranged from her half Jamaican daddy, who comes from also an elite background in Jamaica. So can we understand who we talking to? Y'all giving her a pass, letting her come and say she cooked greens and bathtubs and shit. That shit should irritate y'all. And she does have a video. This is why she lost the presidential election last time. Well, I'm not just going to do anything for black people. Well, what that supposed to mean? You do something for the Latinos. You do something for other groups and cultures. How dare you? What, you do something for Asians? I bet you're going to go talk to the Asian groups, and you better promise them something if they're going to give you a vote. But it's only us y'all do that to, and it's because we have allowed you to. And the disgusting leadership in the black community. Disgusting, I said. Not all of you, but most of you. That's why Malcolm always talks about the green crowd. Man, let me tell you something. The older I get, the more I appreciate Dr. King and Malcolm X, but especially Malcolm. I love Dr. King, too, because Dr. King was deep. But I appreciate Malcolm. I said Malcolm was a prophet because Malcolm saw them 60-some years ago. He saw the Democrats. He used to call them wolves. And he used to explain what they would do and how they would do stuff, and they would always leave the black community in trouble. And here we are, 60-some damn years later, the lowest in economics, the lowest health care, lower than immigrants. And you don't understand why? You were never given the promise, and you have fought for this. How dare anybody tell you just go vote for her? Don't matter. We are giving our allegiance to a party who has not done shit. And don't talk about, well, they gave the housing thing and Obamacare. That shit's for everybody. I'm talking specific redress to black American issues. Black Americans didn't even benefit off of the civil rights laws and affirmative action laws that were put in place. You know who benefited from them? White women and immigrants. Because it was never supposed to be about them. It was supposed to be about lineage and you. They weren't the ones who had American slavery attached to their back. And for you black people to be out here and just giving away. Because she going, Stevie, and I cook greens in the bathroom. I used to listen to Tupac. Oh, my God. It's the saddest shit I've ever seen. And I'm sad for her. And I'm sad for where we going to go. And I don't believe she going to win. But I'm just telling y'all, I'm sad if she does. She ain't like you. and you need to start asking her some questions. Start saying, how did you being raised in a household where your mother was, I think it's Rom Indian, I forget the caste system over there, the elite group she's from. How does that affect you? How does your mother's belief system, does she carry some of the beliefs? Because, see, you're in sort of a caste system in America. You're the lowest on the totem pole in America. Her family was the elite. Kamala didn't cook a grow up cooking no greens. Kamala lying. Kamala was up there eating Indian food. She might have started cooking, eating greens when she got to Howard and made some black greens. She's no more black than Rachel Dolezal. As a matter of fact, Rachel Dolezal is probably more damn. I fear Rachel Dolezal is probably more damn. The white woman that was pretending to be black, probably more damn. She was working for the NAACP, and they said she was doing a good job at the NAACP. Okay, but meanwhile, Kamala was over there prosecuting people for truancy laws because their child was sick or they couldn't get to the school or something like that because they didn't have enough money. It was all kind of stuff. This woman was making their life worse. Then she was keeping men in jail to fight fires, forest fires. You got to read about her. And they hated her. A lot of liberals hated her in California. See, I better start asking her some questions. That's why she lost the general election and these elite celebrities and bourgeoisie and boule went and campaigned for her to get on Joe Biden's ticket. We are letting house niggas run us. I said what I said. You letting house niggas run you. You've been in the house all day sitting up next to Master, and they're like, well, at least you're going to have to go make a deal with Master. Say, Master, now, we want Kamala up in here. Kamala's the best thing that represents us. And then y'all listen to people like Joy Reid, not knowing her background. The other girl on CNN, none of them are black American people, I want to tell you that, too. Not that I have anything against them, but I don't think they have much affinity either. I think they are not, they don't culturally make themselves aware because they know you will start saying, well, wait a minute, hold on, what perspective are you giving us? Is this a perspective that helps us as black America, or is this a perspective that will help black immigrants? I'd like you to give me the truth. I had to go off on that for a minute, child. But that's why I want y'all to go see the Underground Railroad in Cincinnati. Okay, and I'm sure that some of them are going to be people going to be for Kamala, but I'm hoping our people start to think better, because this is why you're 60 and 70 years. Malcolm told y'all about this. Malcolm said this is video footage. You can go and hear Malcolm X talking about the craftiness of the Democratic Party and how we don't hold their feet to the fire. And it was the same thing going on in his days. He would say these civil rights leaders are going in making brokering deals with them for them and their friends. But they was forgetting about the rest of the black America because they was house niggas. And we still got a lot of that shit. But we look up to these people, and we to consider these people leadership. Every leadership should be held accountable. We do not worship people. You know what? That's how Jones tells people. I heard somebody say the other day, you know, black people don't get in no cults. I said, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Don't say that. You know, Trump got a cult over there. This is what the black people was talking about. Okay, I had to check him. I said, who? Well, you know, we black people don't do that. I said, that's not true. I said, I said, it was mainly y'all up there in Jonestown. Remember Jim Jones in Jonestown? It was mainly black folks up there in Jonestown. You go look at the death, all the death, who was drinking the Kool-Aid. It was mostly Negroes drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay, y'all susceptible to cults. We are susceptible as a group to cults. We like to worship people because we have a slave mentality sometimes. We carry sometimes the issues from our ancestors in slavery. Even in slavery, you will see how one person, Harriet Tubman even talked about how she always had to, she had to carry a gun with her because she had to tell people, you can't turn back. If you turn back, I'm going to kill you. Because I can't let them know, because all you're going to do is go back and tell them the way in which we coming. And she always had a famous quote that she said I freed a lot of slaves, but I could have freed more if they would have been free in their mind. A lot of y'all ain't free. And so, and it's hard to get to a place of freedom. I just had beautiful, listen, I was blessed because I had beautiful family that put, instilled in me, even though some of that family believes in some of this stuff now. You know, they be forgetting how, my grandma said, I forget how tough I, but I put it. Yeah. I don't bow down to anything. I don't believe anything. And I'm checking your shit. I'm checking your background. I knew, I got excited about Barack Obama, but the first thing, I could tell you, me and my uncle used to laugh on the telephone about Barack Obama because we would say, we knew he was going to be the next president because we could see how the Democrats was rolling him out. And we was laughing. We was like, where did he get this man from or something? Then I went to go hear to Barack Obama. And Barack Obama did a snow job because he was talking like Malcolm X. He was doing a little, he was doing, and I had this feeling. After reading both of his books, I had a feeling. I had this feeling deep in my spirit. I said, this is not. This man probably would have been married to a white woman if he couldn't have. No, I'll tell y'all too what I was feeling. If he didn't know he was gonna run for president. He dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's to be the first black president, even though he's not culturally from us. I had a haunting feeling, but I still wanted to be a part of it. So I went on and I worked at, I volunteered, I worked at his first office in Missouri. I met Barack and Tomasz, met Michelle, everything. I mean, I was gung-ho. But I had a feeling. Even when they would talk about some policies, I'd be like, ooh, that don't sound like that's going to help us. I would know, and I remember the night he won, and I was in Grant Park. I was there in Grant Park that night with friends, and I remember it being loud, and my uncle ringing the phone, my phone, and Barack and it was coming out on stage. He said, I told you, look at how he done till he talking. He ain't going to do shit. And I knew when he walked out on that stage and he started to give his speech, his tone had changed. And I knew Barack Obama wasn't going to be shit, but he was going to be worshipped like he was, like he had done something just because he was the first. Felt sad because most of our people are just not politically aware enough. They just not, and they don't understand where they're at. And they always are late coming to the party. And I remember Malcolm used to say, Malcolm X used to talk about the grassroots years ago. He used to see the grassroots. He said, it's never these bourgeoisie Negroes and people that know what's really going on in these neighborhoods. It's the people who the real people doing the work at the grassroots level, like ADOS, FBA. Even though I know they don't all get along and stuff like that, there are people trying to mimic these groups. There are bourgeoisie people who know these groups are making headway, especially ADOS, and they're trying to mimic them, trying to scar their name, trying to say all kind of things. And I don't agree with all the stuff of ADOS, but I do believe that they have the best plan. And I like what Tyrese's doing, too. I'm not going to knock him either. These are people saying, hey, we have a culture. You're going to have to promise us something, or we're not voting for you anymore. You got to stop illegal immigration. You got to start talking to black people about reparations because that's the only way we're going to get up. We are 400 to 500 years behind everyone. Our ancestors was building this country while folks was rocking around here free. It put us at a disadvantage. And if you can't see that, then you don't know politics. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. If you can't see anything from the position of slavery and understand what happened to us, then you can't talk to me about politics because you know nothing. You know nothing. And most of y'all don't know. I hate to say it. about 50%, 60% of y'all don't know nothing. If they're not talking to you about what happened in this country from redlining districts, how the wealth is distributed. I remember hearing stories about them burning my grandfather's farm. All kind of stuff, how black farmers were treated, why they have to get crazy. It's crazy how much y'all lack knowledge, but y'all want to be on here arguing with people who have it because y'all think Trump's some sort of dictator. What they doing, they're playing cosplay. They got black people up here now cosplaying you and fooling you. But I'm done. Anyway, back to it. Please go see the Underground Railroad so that you can get a taste of understanding your history of black America, what black Americans have went through, and the journey that we're on. It's a beauty. And they also have the green book thing going on right now. It's well worth your time. And no matter what culture you're in, you should see that, okay? It will help you have an understanding of what black America has been through, okay? All right. Now, also, let me get back to Cincinnati because I'm getting hot, child. I'm getting mad. That's my now, child. Especially black celebrity. Black celebrity makes me the maddest. Okay? They sitting up in they little cook there. I can't wait till they start routing their asses up. You know what I'm saying? When they start, because that's what's happening already. You know, they taking their jobs and shit. I can't wait. Then they're going to be like, man, help us find us it. They already crying. Y'all saw Taraji already crying. If you, I don't make enough. I'm like, that's not like rich folks' problem. That's not your problem. We down here, girl, trying to get through this inflation. Shit. What? Trying to get through this. Shit, you know how black people living out here? You know, listen, we was talking about this other day, me and some friends, and these friends are a part of middle-class black America, okay? So he's like, shit, girl, if we went for Klarna and Afterpay. See, a lot of people front of the mini-mansion, okay? Shit. So I'm just trying to tell y'all how I go. All right, so we're gonna take a break real quick, and I'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll talk more about it. Okay.
the very best in government, politics, celebrity entertainment, music news. Tune into the Carlotta Chatwood Show right here on Block Talk Radio.
Again, my lollipops and everything. Just a little girl.
come to serve this room from the system. We are taking an extended break. I will be right back in a moment. We'll talk about the Cincinnati Fest and all things that went on at Cincinnati Music Fest. Right now, let's hear Jane Child, Don't Want to Fall in Love. It's the CC Show. I'm Carlotta Chatwood. I'll be back in a moment, okay? All right, you guys, this is the CC Show. I'm Kalata. We are back live on air. And listen, okay, just had a little standing right there. But we are talking about Cincinnati Music Festival and what Cincinnati Music Festival was like. I'm giving y'all the review for Cincinnati Music Festival. The first night was, I already talked about it, it was EPMD. It was, what did I tell? EPMD, Strike Sheet. Oh, my goodness. KRS-One and MC Light, okay? All did a fabulous job. I left a little early before MC Light finished her set. I think she was on the, like, the last two songs of her set, like Roughneck. Did you say Roughneck or whatever? But it was fun. It was very old school. Like I said, I felt like the Cincinnati Fest is really taking the crown for maybe Generation Xers, Boomers, late early Millennials. It is taking the crown, I think. It was so... I had a great time. It was wonderful. I told you guys my idea about Cincinnati itself, how I did not, you know, I felt like it needed to be a little bit more painted with Cincinnati Festival stuff. But it was good. So that was the first night. Second night was the main night. You know, we're coming. It was the main night was Saturday. Was it Friday night? And Maxwell headlined the night. Then you had Neo. And before Neo was Fantasia and October London and Lakeside. Okay, so let me tell y'all about each one. Some of y'all follow me on my personal page, and so y'all got to see me give my rant the other night about Maxwell. So I'm going to revisit what happened that night on for the festival. Okay. First of all, I always say, Cincinnati, you owe me nothing. It was great. I enjoyed everything. First night was Lakeside, you know, Fantastic Voyage, All the Way Live. So many, they have a lot of songs, okay? They did such a great job, original Lakeside. I mean, they kept up the energy. But, again, they're old school. I expect artists, old school artists. Old school artists used to work for the year. So I expect old school artists still dancing and doing their thing. They were awesome. They were really good. Then next up we had October London. Now, I told y'all, I didn't think October London sounded as much like Marvin Gaye when I heard him live as he does on the album. Now, there were little twists and turns in his voice that I really like. They sound like Marvin, but, you know, I know he has an album called The Rebirth of Marvin. I've talked about that before. I don't like that title, and the reason I don't like that title is because I'm like, why don't you want to rebirth Marvin? Not that Marvin had a troubled, like, you know, such a troubled life. And so, I don't know if you want to be the rebirth of that, but he even though he was fabulous, he was awesomely talented. But he had so much going on in his life, okay? Because sometimes people don't think when they say, you know, I want to be a rebirth or something and all that stuff, you don't think you putting up stuff, you putting, I mean, let me just say this side piece. You know how I love to give y'all a little bit of spirituality in the mix here. I remember I heard Bishop Jakes say this. He talked about one time at church how this young man came up to him, and he was really going on and on about how he wanted to be like Bishop Jakes when he got his ministry and everything. And he said, Bishop, I just want you to pray for me that I have your anointing, that I'll be like you. And he said, okay. Bishop Jakes said he laid hands on him and said, I pray that his daddy died when he was 15. I pray that this happens to him. I pray all these bad things that happened to him before that shaped him into being Bishop Jakes. I pray that he loses all his money. I pray he said, a young man, look back. He said, that's what it took for me to be where I'm at. And so a lot of times when you're triggering, talking about the rebirth of Marvin Gaye, you don't want to do that because you're triggering Marvin's anointing. Marvin had a lot of rough things happening to him. So when you, it took a lot to be Marvin Gaye on this earth. You know, he left very early because he was killed by his father. It took a lot to be Marvin Gaye within the earth. So I do not like the title of that album. I do not, like, you could have said a tribute to Marvin and all that, but the rebirth of Marvin, like, you come in with Marvin. No, you're not Marvin. Okay? And you don't want to be. So you look like a nice boy from Indiana. I think he's definitely where he said he's from. He looks like a nice young man from Indiana, and you want to keep it that way. You sound a lot. You got your own style, your own sound. That's what I love about Kim. Well, and I'm going to talk about Kim where he performs Sunday night, but one thing that I love about Kim, Kim is a lot like Al Jarreau. Kim gives his love to Al Jarreau, but he doesn't take Al Jarreau's whole full style. Like, he did a set last Saturday night, where he gave tribute to Al Jarreau, and he did a trick, because he knows y'all compare him to Al Jarreau. But he doesn't sound exactly, he isn't trying to live Al Jarreau's life, live out Al Jarreau's anointing. He didn't say, the rebirth of Al Jarreau. Okay, so I don't like that October. I'm just going to say that now. Don't do that. Don't do that no more. Don't let nobody convince you to say the rebirth of Marvin or any of that. You October London, you be you and you be who you are, because it took a lot to live out Marvin Gaye's life in this lifetime. Okay, it took a lot for him to do what he did and to get what he got. Okay, so you never want to ask nobody for what it took for them to become them. What I did like about his set, I love Mulholland Drive. I love those songs. But the thing about one thing I'll say another thing for him is you're gonna have to mix your big songs in with the set, because the first three or four songs nobody knew, and you lost some of the crowd because nobody knew. And you seen that, and you really had a very good show. So I want to say that. Okay, and sidebar, let me say this, because I didn't say this. This is for Cincinnati Festival Music, TNG people only. I hated the two stages. I will still say it. I will keep saying it. The two stages I don't like. I know why you do them, and it's a fabulous idea. You know, looking at it on paper, it seems like a great idea to be like fixing up one stage and then the other stage. You know, it's done for another artist to come out on it and another artist. But what you do to that, to me, aesthetically and, you know, just the energy of the crowd, you cut off the crowd becoming a cohesive group. Even though, listen, let me just say this, even though the crowd still came together and still did, you know, still partied and had a good time, but you don't get the full beautiful moments of artists. So you don't really see that if you're splitting the stage in half and you have people looking from one side to the stage to the next side of the stage. I hated that. Procter & Gamble, I know you got more money, and I know you can give them what they need to accomplish having just shows down the middle. That is not, I did not like that idea whatsoever. But it's funny because my side of the stage now, all the big artists were out on my side of the stage, so I didn't have too much complaint, but I'm sure the other side, Kim was on the other side, but I've seen Kim so many times that I didn't really care. but you still could see the artists. It's just that split down the middle. They have big video, you know, big screens and stuff everywhere. But I don't know who told them that was a good idea. It may have been a good idea on paper. And I heard they've been doing this for years, and people have complaints about it, yet you guys are still doing it. I have no clue why. But you would get a much better better thing if you did not do that. Now, as far as people, you were asking me about videos, did they allow you to do videos and stuff at the Cincinnati Fest? Yes, they did. I know they had on their website that they did not. I don't know why they did that. Though people were taking plenty of videos and pictures and stuff like that. And it's smart to do so, because that Cincinnati Fest is not as known as much as like something like the Essence Fest, even though it was a lot of people. It was like almost 60 or 70,000 people there. But it helps you get more popular. You know, when they tag a video and say, I'm watching October London at the Cincinnati Fest, and they tag a video in October London there. You know, that's why Essence, I think, started even streaming their shows through Hulu, and then this year they did it on their website, which was a bad idea, but that's another story. But so it's smart to just my personal opinion. You guys I'm reviewing it for you guys. My personal opinion is, please, please, please look at changing that stage thing, because I heard complaints. And also think about doing, you know, don't tell people they can't do video, even though y'all let them do video. I don't know what y'all. And the crowd was really respectful because it's an older crowd. So what you saw is people play, you know, they would tape a little and then they thought about, then they start dancing and singing and stuff. So it was pretty good. I got that. I mean, I don't think it was that bad. Next. Okay. So October London came out. October London does his thing. Next is Fantasia. Okay. Let me just say the tornado that is Fantasia. I felt sorry for Neo and I felt sorry for Maxwell because I was like, nobody wants to come behind Fantasia. If you've ever seen Fantasia in concert, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. Beyonce could not even come behind Fantasia. You know, if you saw the Grammy Awards this year when Fantasia was doing the tribute to Tina Turner, and she came out in the audience and she tried to dance with Beyonce, and Beyonce was like, I ain't touching that. I said, I know you're not. That girl is a force of nature. She came out. The crowd was on their feet, the entire, when I say the whole crowd, not just a little, not just one people, not just almost the whole crowd. She rocked it. There is no, you know, she's calling herself the queen of rock. So I said, no, you're the queen of church rock. You are a church. You're a tornado and a church mixed combined together. So it is, she was so good. She did not have a person up on their feet. And I thought Neo, I was like, poor Neo, when he comes out, I mean, he's going to have a crowd that is literally tired because she had people dancing. She had people dropping it low. She had people crying. Y'all know how Fantasia likes to do. She likes to mix church and she likes to mix, mix rock and soul. So it is, she does what she does, what Fantasia does. There's nothing else to say. Okay, even Cincinnati Fest was like, Long Live Web Fight, Fantasia shut us down. You know, she did. I was like, I don't know if I can get back up, you know, because she had me dropping it low. I was like, hey, listen, Fantasia, my knees are bad. I can't drop it low. So it was really, she was really awesome. Neo, I have seen a couple of times. Neo is a great performer, and to come behind Fantasia, man, Neo, you did such a wonderful job. Everybody was tired, but I think Neo understood that. So Neo, being the smart performer and has performing as long as he's performed, he does a set sort of like Frank Sinatra meets Usher. That's how I always feel about Neo. Frank Sinatra meets Usher. So he kind of has that smooth Rat Pack Club look, and he had red suit on, you know. And it's so good to see Neo perform because we've mostly been hearing about his antics off, his love life antics off stage. So we get to see him perform, and it's so good to see him back performing. He did an awesome job. It was not a bad thing. He did. Great performer. He went to all his songs that he wrote for people, his songwriting he wrote for Beyonce. When we talk about Irreplaceable, Mario, You Should Let Me, what's that song? You Should Let Me Love You or whatever. I mean, he went through all, and it got people hyped, you know. So he knew how to get people back up on their feet. Shout out to the Neo, okay? Neo, you made me a fan all over again. And what I feel when I looked at you do that performance, when I was watching you, I'm going to say something to you. When I was watching you, I felt like a man that was getting his, because I saw you about, we did celebrity gossip on you, and we talked about when your side piece, whatever the girl was, your baby mama, came in there and taped you, and you looked like you was going through, saying all this shit, you know, that you was doing off stage and all this stuff like that. But when I saw you the other night, and I'm hoping I'm right about you, but when I saw you, you looked like a man who was getting his confidence back. You looked like a man who was getting his, remembering what he does. And I hope you do that. I hope you don't get lost to all the pressures and all the all the mess that comes with show business, because you are a great gift. I remember when I first, like, heard your first album, and I was like, this dude is like a baby face in the making. Like, you know, like whoa. Now, over the years, I thought you got a little off on, like, some of the techno stuff and, you know, all that stuff. But, and that's good. It's always good to go outside the box. But what I always thought you were was you would one day be a national treasure like a baby face. Don't lose that. Don't let all the shit from show business and shit take you out of what you are good at. Man, when I saw, I was so proud of you. I was literally proud. And I got back my love for Neo. Because I remember loving Champagne Life, all this stuff. And he didn't do No Plans for Love, which I was upset about that, because you shouldn't be in No Plans for Love. Yeah, that's my song right there, No Plans for Love. That's a joint. You and, what's his name? What's the dude that do the DJ Nice? What's his name? I forgot, it's D Nice. Yeah, y'all did that. That's the song right there, okay? And Kent, was it Kent Jones? I'm like, you should have did that, man. That was your crowd. You should have took off that Pet Bull. Well, nobody caring about that Pet Bull song. You know that Cincinnati Fest. You should have put on No Plans for Love. we would have thrown up in there. but I was proud of Neo, because I feel like he's getting back stuff. At least I thought that's what I saw. Don't let that shit swallow you up out there. Don't let it do it. I know, you know, don't let womanizing and all that. When you womanizing and you got time, like, I remember I heard Blueface one time say he was a fucker. I said, I knew his career wasn't going to be shit, because that's all he thinking about doing, okay? Sometimes women and all these things are the trappings of that business. But I hope you don't let the trappings swallow you up. Okay, so next, my favorite artist, like Luther. No, wait a minute, hey, hold on, no. I love you, Maxwell, but ain't nobody like Luther. That's my favorite, Luther. I will always love, I miss Luther. Been fan Luther so much at Cincinnati Fest, and they just was, every time I hear Luther's song, I be like, I'm so grateful I saw Luther. I'm so grateful I never missed Luther. I'm so grateful I spent money to see Luther, sit up close all those times at Luther's concerts and laugh and enjoy my music and dance. I can just say I saw the force that was Luther Vandross. That will always be my favorite singer. But Maxwell, you are just almost as close to my heart as Luther. I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't lie to you. Okay? And I am glad that I see the force that is Maxwell, okay? So let me just say, because I'm going to say the good things first, okay? I remember when I first seen you, I have told this story on here before about you. My friend Gayla was in love with Maxwell. You know, we was all like, okay, girl, child, we glad you in love. You know, you like Maxwell. And she really used to pile me up. She was really home in on me about Maxwell. I was like, what is going on here? Why she keep trying to tell me, get me go see Maxwell? And she's like, girl, you got to see Maxwell, honey. Girl, you're going to love him. And, you know, I was like, I said, okay, we saw his little unplug. He was cute. That's how me and my friend Vanetta used to be. We saw him on his little unplug. He was cute. Give me a trip. And she'd be like, no, y'all trying to be hard. He the bomb. He all that, all this stuff. And I said, his unplug was really good. Nah, he out here, he is. He's fine. You know, stuff like that. And then I saw him. I remember one night coming by the TV. And I tell you something. Something hit me. I said, somebody said, sit down and watch this guy. And he was on Vibe magazine. And he had this dark, beautiful, like, I always say, like, an R&B Dracula look. I was like, this man is beautiful. It hit me that he was beautiful, but it wasn't just his face or his aesthetics. It was the way he talked. He was cool, you know. I remember, what's his name, was trying to get him to get with Layla Rashawn or something like that. And he was like, nah, man. Like, he read the room. He didn't say nah, but he read the room. Kind of like he checked the Vibe host without, I think it was Chris, I forget his name, Chris something, without checking him. You know, I said, oh, damn, somebody killed. He's all right. I like a man that can hold his own in a, like, in a, such a, I don't know, a dope way. It was I saw the vibe, but I still wasn't, you know, convinced. I was like, yeah, that's hot. 2011 comes out. I think it was 9/11. It was about a couple of weeks after 9/11. Maxwell was supposed to, he was coming to Kansas City. He came with Alicia Keys, was opening up. I finally said to Gayla, I'm going to go see Maxwell. I have front row tickets. Now, back then I used to wear my hair feathered, like I had a real pretty feather hairstyle, like a, it was I sat right in the front row. Me and Vanetta, they came, me, Vanetta, I was with six girlfriends, me, Vanetta, LaShawn, LaShawna, Christy, one of our other friends, Carolyn, it was another girl, I forget who the other person was, it was like six or seven of us, we took up like half the row. You know, my friend LaShawna got her shades on, because she thinks Maxwell gay, so she's talking shit, he's gay. And we like, girl, well, we just going to come, we going to see. They came out and they lit some sort of candle. I don't know what that candle was. I felt like it was some sort of aphrodisiac, because when it was, he had these big candles or something like on stage or something like a set. It was weird. This nigga comes out. I looked at my friend and I said, what the shit? He was so, I had never seen anything like that. I was like, and listen, I'm going to tell you, because I was I said, girl, we got to go meet this man. And my friend was like, girl, what? I said, girl, no, I mean, she's like, girl, I ain't got time. I said, no, we got to do this. And he was so beautiful. All of us were staring at him like he was like a piece, like for me, chocolate chip cookies or something, like a chocolate chip cake. I was like, what the? I saw what Gayla was seeing. I was like, jeez. I mean, he was. It wasn't just he was beautiful. It was just that he had this such this creative aura. It was fly. I was like, damn. And he had on this net, hair net, and he was covering up all his hair. And I remember I was looking like, why are you covering up your hair? But I was just like amazed. I was like sitting there going, who is this? And he performed, and he was so smooth, so beautiful. I mean, he had. It was like he captured everybody's attention. Oh, my God, it was dope to see. Shit. And I remember trying to go meet him, and that night, we almost met him. But I remember Alicia Keys' people told us we had just missed him. We had just, it was less than a minute, the guy said. He was like, dang. He said, oh, my God, that's messed up. He said, he's right here. But eventually I did meet him, okay? So let me just talk about the force that is Maxwell, okay? I wanted to start off with that because I wanted to tell y'all where my love for Maxwell came on. I became like Gayla. Okay, I was like, shit, I'm a Maxwell head. Now I feel it. I feel the vibe. Damn. Right, okay? And it wasn't just, like I said, he's a creative aura around him, okay? So listen, let's talk about Friday night. Maxwell was not your best performance. Sorry. Oh, shit. I tell people I love the truth. I love you. If you don't like it, then I'm sure that other people who have never seen you before thought it was a great performance. I was like, listen, ain't this supposed to be the kick out to the serenade tour? Because Maxwell came out to the same playlist. Now, you changed the playlist, I remember, in 2000, from 2019 to the, I remember, you, as I saw you, I've seen you since 2017 consistently. You have changed the playlist maybe two or three times, which is good. 2016 consistently. No, 2016. So, because Maxwell was in hiding before then. We didn't hardly see Maxwell. Maxwell wasn't hard. The last several years, Maxwell has been touring his ass off. It's like Maxwell is wanting you to get to know him again, okay? I know ain't no night nowhere in sight, but it's like he wants you to know his ass again, okay? Ain't no night. We ain't seen no night. We looking for night. Now, he counting down the summer for some reason. I don't know. He counting. So maybe if we going to get night in the fall. Like, he's counting down the summer, because it's maybe nights will be dropped in the fall, but I would think a single or something's coming out, okay? Something happening, okay? But anyway, back to the show. Maxwell shows up with the same serenade, you know, I mean, with the same night. I guess this is part of the night tour. I'm going to just assume this was part of the night tour. I went hard on you the other night, but I'm going to assume that we have not really got, this is not the serenade tour. This is the ending of the night tour. This is what I'm going to believe. The ending of the night tour happened at, Cincinnati Fest, okay? Now, Maxwell, here's the thing. You came out in that big-ass hat. We could not see your eyes. You had on these shades, which is cute. I like the red shades and stuff like that. But then you took your hat off at the end, and you had a pair of fresh braids. It was given like, I'm going to rush through this, and I don't really want to have contact with the audience. I'm just really trying to rush through this and get this Cincinnati vibe check, Cincinnati Fest check. I'm taking a drink of water. Hold up. If you're just now tuning in, I started off nice, Maxwell, ladies. Okay, my Maxwell girls, I started off nice. Okay? Now, you stopped the show because some lady in front, I don't know if she was making faces, I don't know what she was doing, but you thought it was the bass or whatever. You said, is it the bass? Do I need to turn down the bass? I was like, no, you don't need to turn down the bass because the bass is what's keeping folks up. I said, I thought she just was being nice to you and saying, yeah, turn down the bass. But her ass probably was like, you boring. Now, people say, my friends will say, you see the show, though, a lot of times. No, but I've never, listen, I tell Maxwell, I never get bored with Maxwell. Do you hear what I say about Maxwell? Maxwell is a force. Maxwell is an aura. Maxwell is the R&B prince. He has accepted the throne. I don't believe R. Kelly's a prince. I think R. Kelly's great. I love him. But I don't believe R. Kelly is the prince of R&B. I don't believe he gets the air from Marvin. I believe Maxwell has got it. Why did I say Maxwell? Because Maxwell can do shit that no other R&B artist can do. Maxwell can go away and come back. Remember when he did the BET Awards when he came out on stage? We was like, who's that with that short hair? When he came out and he sang Simply Beautiful, and all the women was like, the audience were like melted in their chair. Nobody can do that. We ain't seen him in like 10 years. Maxwell King. And then he comes out with the starting out with the trilogy, dropping, Black. And then he drops Summers. I mean, they both like, we all like, yes, Pretty Waves. And then, you know, then there's Lake by the Ocean the next week. I mean, nobody can do that but Maxwell. He has like a, he's a force, he can do that. So I don't like when Maxwell gives me less than his best. I've seen Maxwell perform his best, okay? Maxwell, are you tired? Are you bored with singing now? Are you bored with touring? What are you doing? Then take a break. The fuck? Don't come out there and giving me non-creative shit. Don't come out there in no big ass. I like the outfit and stuff. I understand it was comfortable. It's too big. I hate baggy clothes, okay? Because you got, you know, you need to be serving up them arms, okay? These ladies, you need to see them. You can serve. Remember when he used to serve up the arms? And he used to have the net on his head? Lord. He famous. Remember when you could see the tattoo? Remember the beautiful tattoo? It's like a Celtic cross. What is that? It looks like a Celtic cross mixed with. I won't say what I think it's mixed with. My mama said you're a warlock. Anyway, but no, it's a beautiful tattoo that he has on his arm. He never serves that stuff up. He got beautiful arm. He never serves up the things that the girls like. Where is your creativity? Are you bored right now? Are you bored? Your band looks bored. They wasn't at first. When they came out the first few weeks of night, first few times I saw them on the night tour, everybody was looking excited. smiling. I mean, they ain't smiling this time, but they look. I'm like, listen. When I let me compare something. I'm getting ready to do something real quick. Kim came out, and I'm gonna get to Kim in a minute. Oh, it was a vibe. Kim had, this was like Maxwell when he did Mary J. Blige, but he just didn't understand how to do his playlist. Maxwell never understands how to do his playlist. But this playlist has been the best one he's had that I've seen. Okay, but it's still, and now it's time for it to retire it because you're getting ready to do another tour. But when Kim came out, Kim was hitting us with everything. I mean, and his band was looking like they was into it. They was like, hey, the horns was like, everybody was up out their seat. I mean, it was a vibe. Like he, and then he started dancing like it was like, shh. I was like, Kim, you better do that shit. It was like Kim was caught up in the whatever was going on, and he let it take him away. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Maxwell, I felt like he was doing work. This is the first time I saw, no, it's not the first time, but it's the first time I saw you really where it looked like this was work for you. Like, this was, like, that's not the Maxwell that I saw several years ago who used to come out and say, it just went. His whole aura was just captured. Do you understand what you are? I don't really know if you understand what you are. I really don't know if you really reevaluated who you are. Maxwell, you have some of the strongest energy I have ever encountered. I'm an energy person. You have strong energy. I mean, it's something. I don't think you get it. I don't think your ancestors must have been something. Okay, because I remember the lady told me when I was getting ready to do the meet and greet, the lady at the door who was doing the people, who was writing the people in, she stopped and said to me, she said, girl, she said, he's fine. Not that you're fine. It's that you have this energy, this aura. It's something that you can feel it when you walk, when you get to the door. It's coming at whatever, it's a force. I think you have a Leah. What does he have? He has a Sagittarius, a lives in Sagittarius. I'm right on the border of that. I'm a lives in Scorpio at the 27th degree, so I have a little lives in Sagittarius in me. So I even get why that's a little bit of love for Maxwell, too, in my astrology chart, because Maxwell sits on my 8th house, too. So I'm going to have love for Maxwell. So so he has that Lilith and Sagittarius, and Lilith and Sagittarius are known for they can seduce a crowd. They can move in the most powerful way. Here's the thing I want to say to you. I can tell you anxious. I can tell you kind of got a little nerve. Look, it's okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody got nerve. I got stage fright. That's why I don't really sing as much anymore. I get it. But what I will say to you is I wish you were tapping in. I mean, they're for real. Like, really tap in and not be scared to change it up. Man, your catalog, listen, you mess up, you got one of the deepest catalogs. I mean, as far as music, your B-sides are even dope. I mean, there is, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't, even if you sing even if you just sing a portion of this woman's work for these people out here, pray to God, you can just sing a little piece. You might can't sing it like you used to, whatever. Just a little piece. Gather back your energy, man, from wherever you're spreading it out to. Gather it back to you. Do you love this? Do you love what you up there doing? Do you? Because I didn't pick that up from you or the band. I was like, maybe it's Latina. Now, the band sounds good. Don't get me wrong. They always sound good because they professional. Okay? They always sound dope. But they wouldn't give me what Kim's band was. Kim's band was on that Frankie Beverly and Maze Earth, Wind, and Fire tip. They were like, hey, we going to party. Like it's a party. Okay, well, no matter what we plan, hey, you know what I'm saying? Maxwell, I need you to tap in. Okay, am I seeing this wrong? If I am, forgive me if I'm seeing it wrong. Maybe I had a bad night. But I was talking to the young lady on the plane. I didn't even ask her. She said, we left out on Maxwell because, he was doing a little too much slow stuff. It's not that you're doing slow stuff. It's your energy and passion behind what you're fucking doing. And I hate to tell you that. Like, you a Gemini. Damn. You see Prince? Prince was a Gemini. It's like you a cusper, though. You sitting on that Taurian cusper. You got a lot of Taurian shit going on, okay? But listen. You a Gemini. Geminis change it the fuck up. Ain't no boring Geminis. Imagine that. A boring Gemini. Child, ain't no such thing. Okay? What is going on? Do you want to go? Is it something you ready? You just want to ready to go home or something like that? Is it okay? If you ready to do something, you got something else that's more pressing, then shit, go and do it. But don't come out here getting our coins and giving us half-ass shows. I want people, when I brag on you, I want people to know I'm telling the truth about this man, okay? I've been telling, and then people go see him. My mama said, that's a lullaby, man. He done put me to sleep. But my mom did say she watched Unplugged. Let me see, my mama's a hard thing to crack. She said that Unplugged, he was bad. Where? Wow. I said, because the energy was different. It seemed like you was enjoying this shit. Just like I just gave a thing to Neo. I just gave something to Neo. I said about how Neo is one of the greatest. I think he should be like a national eventually like a national treasure, like Babyface. You have already reached that status, Maxwell. That's why you headline. Maxwell, check this out. You are headlining artists. How can I say this? This is how beloved you are, and I don't think you just grasp it. On the surface, Neo, Fantasia, and stuff may be seem like more hits than you. I mean, they got hits, but it's not like you quite have them. You are this. You're not doing a lot. You're not a person. I can't explain it. Like, you are not. I said this before. You're not Walmart brand things. You're the special brand of liquor. The special brand. You're unique. The reason you're headlining these people who have been out here working way more than you have and putting out records after records, probably more than you have, is because it's something about you, knowing how to hold back and come out and drop your stuff and come out with certain things and how you move as an artist. You are headlining. You headlined with Mary J. Blige. You headlined. She was the opening act. Do you understand how people see you? Dude, what's going on? Seriously, deal with it and get back. I didn't like the show. I didn't like you. I felt like you was being lazy. That's the Cincinnati Fest. That's a big-ass motherfucking stage. It's 65,000 people. It's like going to the Essence Fest. And you come out in a baggy-ass outfit and a floppy-ass hat. The fuck? Are you advertising Lowe's or something? Are you going to be their spokesperson? Do a fucking commercial, but quit the quit the bullshit, okay? Are you just going to be doing cruises now? Are you still an artist? Do you still like music? Why the fuck is it taking 8 years for Nice? I'm with Prince now. When Prince called you, I'm going to say, why it take you so long to bring out these albums? Now you have Prince asking that shit. Prince asking you. Prince, a true, that's a Gemini right here. Prince asking you, like, why it take you so long to bring out an album? Shit, it don't take my ass that long. What the fuck are you doing? Only thing I can think is that you probably go in and out of your creative aura because you let so many things, I believe you're a Gemini to let things grasp your attention, let so many things get you off of your attention, off your game. Now I'm going to put you back on it. I'm a motherfucking catalyst for you. Get your shit back on. Really remember who you are. Like, you the dude who being fortunate. You the dude. Nah, not Art. I know Art Kelly wrote it, but you the motherfucker. Did the background, sang it, put it up there, gave it his vibe. You the dude who did Irving Hainsley. You the dude who they thought when they thought, no offense to, what's his name? What's the dude's name? What's his name? Brown Sugar Bay. What's the dude's name? D'Angelo. People thought D'Angelo was getting ready to be the heir to the throne, but you came out and just said that Irving Hainsley just knocked his ass off. We know who D'Angelo was. I ain't trying to be funny. We know who D'Angelo is. He's still out there. But you really literally knocked that shit out the ballpark. No, no. And D'Angelo's a cold dude. You're the dude who did Embryo. You're the dude who decided you're going to put out a trilogy. And you're going to wait 7 years in between because you just that fucking bad. You ain't got to rush your album. Yeah, Beyonce ain't even got to rush that shit, but I'm Maxwell. I ain't got to rush the damn thing. I don't care if last shit was happening. I done heard the rumors. You dare to wait. That's the kind of energy I want to see on stage from your ass. That you know who the fuck you are, okay? Quit coming out there and half-assing it. Do you need to change it up? I done seen you enough to know. So listen, this is just like I just gave Neo encouragement. This is encouragement. Because y'all was thinking I was being mean to Maxwell the other night. I was not being mean. I was saying what I thought as a person who has seen him a lot. You came out there like a motherfucker that didn't care. That you were just there to get a check. Now, the other people were so glad to see you. People like your songs. They got nostalgia for you. So they'll listen. They'll be like, shit, nah, it's like that. But that's lazy. I know you being lazy because I done seen this show a lot. So I'm just, do you need to change it up? Is it your band that don't want to change the playlist? And tell them motherfuckers that you go. You got to go. I got to get a new band if you ain't ready to do no new shit. I know Tina bad. I know she can learn some new background songs. I mean, what's the deal? You can't. What the hell is going on? I've been holding this in for a while. I mean, finally, he had to come and tell to come correct. Maybe it'll encourage him. Somebody get it to him. Somebody send it. You know, y'all say Maxwell likes to troll. Okay, Maxwell, if you're trolling right now, let me just tell you this. You got to realize the fuck you are, okay? Yes, you are that dude, okay? Understand it. Man, Gemini. What you got, Gemini sun, Aquarius moon, you playing. What's that? What's his rising? Libra. Oh, you real playing. Quit playing, man. We ain't got time for the bullshit. That's just, what you got, Natty and Gemini? You got a stellium? You better quit playing. Quit acting lazy. What's taking your attention? That you can't do this. If you need to go and do what you need to do, then go do what you need to do. It's okay to live life. Don't live life. Say, shit, I don't really want to tour and shit. No way. I'm going to go on about my business. I ain't into music no more, okay? I'm going to go do what I need to do, whether it's, I don't know what you want to do. Shit. Whatever. Go and do it. But don't be wasting. Let me waste my motherfucking coin coming to cheer you on. We're hoping to see the dude that I know is dead. Come on, give me a half-ass show. Talking to the lady down there. I mean, we can stop there. We can hurry up. I mean, we can change it. He stopped twice the show. I'm like, no, she being nice. It's you. Y'all look bored. You look like you just going through the fucking songs. And you know why people say, oh, yeah, he was good, but I left a little early because he was, you know, this and that. It's not even the energy. It's not even the playlist. I'm going to tell you the truth. I say it's the playlist all the time because it's slow and stuff like that, but it's your delivery. I've seen you deliver through the I've seen Cole Maxwell things, okay? a little bit of the playlist too. But it's your the reason why people go out there and leave because it looks like you going through the motions. So people can feel the energy of you fucking going through the emotions. Like you got acting like you got somewhere else better to be right that now. Then motherfucking go be there. But if you gonna come on that stage and hit that stage, you need to give people that anointing. You have an anointing. You have to use it. Like Fantasia. Fantasia steps on that motherfucker. Fantasia like, bitch, I'm here to spend it all. Like, it's my last show. Like, I ain't going to do another show because I love this shit. Okay? I'm here to do it. I'm here. And I'm sure every night she don't feel good. She may get everybody give a bad performance here and there. But I'm telling you, she comes and she delivers. Like, Kim came up there like, this is my last show. He said, I like when I come to a place like Cincinnati Festival. It's a certain groove. Man, you missed the moment. You missed the energy. That energy was there for you. That was your craft. I came on late. I don't give a shit. It don't even matter. You can capture their attention coming on late, but you look like you was just going through the motion. Uh-oh, I'm coming up to should not realize. Which are you ready for the ooh? You even sound bored. I said, are you ready for the ooh? Are you getting ready to sing the ooh for us? Or what? Are we singing the ooh because you really can't sing the ooh no more? What the hell's going on? Are you being Whitney Houston up in this joint? You know how Whitney Houston used to get the people to sing the high notes? She come down on stage because she couldn't. She had somebody sing. Remember what it is? Then you need to go get your voice intact then. And quit playing. What a blessing, again, to be doing. I don't know if it's what you love. Maybe it ain't what you love. I mean, maybe you just wandered on to singing. I don't know. Maybe you just wandered onto the room. You did say you didn't expect to ever be you was looking more at the background. Maybe that's the reason you did. I don't know. It doesn't appear to be that way. I don't think there was a mistake made. I think Sony understood exactly what the fuck they was doing when they decided to put you out. But you got to believe in yourself. Quit giving us half-ass shows. I'm going to the Serenade Tour in October. You better be ready. I ain't playing. I'm going to talk about your ass if not. Okay? I'm going to talk about your ass. And I'm going to tell everybody, don't go to that shit. That shit, he tired. Okay? Don't you come out playing. See, people who love you tell you the truth. People who don't love you lie. Oh, it's okay what you're doing. You can do that same old playlist. They still coming out to see you. But eventually they will stop. These girls still doing me. Is that what we putting our thing into now that you cute? Is that what you just putting it all into? Because you know all these girls, everybody thinks you cute. Is that what you're putting it into now? Because really, that's not what it says. That's the great thing about you. The great thing about you is that you're artistic and that you deliver music and songs different from anybody out here. Your background is what makes you so special. You bring so much different to the history of R&B, Black American music. You bring something different to it. And if you don't get that, and if you don't understand that, and you keep walking out on stage like you're just there to get a check, then, I mean, you know what? You got problems. You need to go home and figure the shit out. But do not step back on nobody's stage and bullshit nobody, okay? Get your shit together. Get your performance gear together. Don't be wearing them hats. The girl said, he took off his hat. She said, girl, we left out before, so we didn't see it. I said, yes, it was fresh braids under it. said, yeah, because we kept saying you can't see him. Who does that? Maxwell, girls came to see your ass. You're supposed to use that, too. That's all a part of the gift. Yeah. They still coming to see you talking at like you 25. They looking at you like you 25. You 50-something years. You an old-ass man. And yet these women and stuff is coming to see you like you are, like you 25. Okay, you better get it together. That's all I got to say on that. No, I done said what I see. And if y'all other people don't like it, Maxwell girls, y'all can go bullshit him if y'all want to. Hey, Maxwell, it don't matter. He just loves you, Maxwell. Oh, Maxwell, love. Hearts to Maxwell. It's hearts. Love me. I love you, Maxwell. It doesn't matter what you do. You can gaslight us with the bullshit. No, you can't. Get your shit together. I know you can do better than that. And put these, unless you're going to go around and do boat cruises. I mean, cruises. You know, go around and be a cruise singer now. Okay? With your Hugh Hefner robe on. You know you can't be doing that. You know you can't be doing that Hugh Hefner stuff. Oh, yeah. Okay? Quit playing. Okay? If you're getting ready to do that, if you're going to be on cruises and boat cruises from now, then that's good. That works for a cruise singer. I guess. Moving on. Saturday night. It was live, okay? Love Saturday Night of Cincinnati Fest. Everybody came with their best face on, okay? It started off with, who did we start off with? On Saturday night. It was, oh my God, I forget. Who started off? Oh, Stokely. Stokely. Stokely is the man, okay? He was running across. He was dancing. He was giving me Cisco. I'm eating and talking to y'all. He was giving me Cisco, but he was giving me Cisco like a new Cisco. Stokely's version of Cisco. Okay, him, his background singers, everybody. On point, gave a show. The audience was with him. Stokely was all that. He even did some Rick James joints because you know he's supposed to be playing Rick James. He did some Rick James song. Oh yeah, Stokely served it up. Okay. Next up. Oh, and I forgot to talk about this about Fantasia, y'all. Fantasia did, I think she did Nasty Girl, and she did was that her that did that melody? She did Nasty Girl, and she did, what else? I forget the other song, In My House, Rick James, or something like that. That's Fantasia crazy. Let me just say Fantasia crazy. I can't get over Fantasia. Fantasia crazy. That's a performer right there. That's a mofo that leaves it all on the table, but that's that gospel background, because I grew up in that. They didn't play. Quartet groups, she comes from a quartet. Let me say this. I'm going back to Saturday night in a minute. But quartet, Fantasia's family used to be like a quartet group. My grandparents did quartet groups and stuff like that. They were always competitive, even though they were singing gospel. Competitive as hell, okay? So when you go out there and you singing gospel and you part of a quartet, them quartets know how to work a stage. They know how to work a thing. Fantasia has been trained by the best, okay? I grew up in it. I know. She's been trained. They know how to work a stage. They know how to preach. They know how to sing, talk to you. They know how to minister to your soul. They know how to do everything. And all Fantasia has done is transferred that anointing over there into that rock world. Girl, you bad. You's a bad girl. All that training from when she started off in her family's quartet group. That church training ain't nothing like it in the world. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like that good old black American. When you got that, woo, that's what Aretha Franklin had. You can't mess with it. Fire. Okay, that's a hard chick. Look, she ain't nobody messing with her, not even Beyonce. Beyonce like, hell no, I ain't going behind no fence. Hey, y'all crazy as hell. All right, so that's all I say about her, because she's been trained not only in like a little, she's been trained with some anointing on her. She got anointing on her. Like, that's God stuff on her. That's God sprinkle. Okay? Everybody got God sprinkle on them, including Maxwell and what he does. But he, you know, he just got tapped in again. But Fantasia got that in spades, and she knows it, and she don't, and she spends it when she's out on the stage. That's what she's there to do. She understands what the gift is for. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm alive. This, I'm to give this to you, and I'm going to, I bet she goes back, and she's probably tired, because that's somebody else up on that stage. That's God just working her. Yeah, that's something special. Anyway, she tapped in. All right, so go back. Now I'm going to Saturday night. Stokely was great. Then we had Coco Jones. Coco, you are going to be a force as you grow and grow into the industry. You have a beautiful voice. I didn't like the cookie cutter. It looked like he was trying to give me lines, like they told you to say this, say this to the crowd. Hey, everybody, raise your hand in the ear. You know, like, you just learned. But when you get that authentic vibe where you know how to, where you start learning how to talk to your audiences and move with your audience, girl, you're going to be something great. Whew, that voice is fire. Those looks are just, girl, you fine. And that body, sis, all day, it was giving. It was serving. It was serving. Everything was serving. I'm a fan of Coco Jones. I love you. Girl, I liked every minute you was up there, okay? You was serving it up. And you served it up on the BET Awards, too. The way you went around, you twisted around on that stage. I said, I want to learn how to do that. I need to learn how to do sexy like that, how to twist. And she came down that thing and twisted around that stage. I said, oh, that's how you're supposed to do it. And she gave some of that sexy Saturday night with her dancers and everything. I liked her whole vibe. Coco Jones, yes, the future, okay? Next was En Vogue was second. Let me just say this quick about En Vogue. It will never be, y'all will never be what y'all was without Don. And I think, is it Maxine or Terry, another Terry? I forget what his name is. Y'all will never be that. Y'all all four together are a force. I don't know why people don't understand this. The guys who were next to me at the festival, and they was like, I be trying to get that check. I wouldn't care. We can have all separate bodyguards and everything. That's what I said about Jody Watley and Shalimore. Jody, you are wasting your time being mad at something from 1982. When you could be out here, and I know it ain't just about a check, but it's about the special gifting that y'all had as a group. Like, you, Jeffrey Daniels, and Howard Hewitt, once one of y'all go or once one of y'all leave this earth, you can't get that back. You running around with two dudes that don't nobody know who the fuck they are. It don't make no sense, Jody. Forgive them and go get your check and bring back that together. Y'all need to do it just one more time. You can have a celebration. You ain't got to talk to their asses. This is, you know, don't even talk on stage. Look, if Lauryn Hill's ass can get back with Wyclef after all they went through, your ass can get back with Jeffrey Daniels from 1980. Well, he might have did some real shit. I don't know. You ain't said, you sound like it was just a bad breakup. I don't know. Or whatever, girl, forgive and go get it. You can just have your own set of bodyguards and all that stuff. Y'all interact on the stage, get out the stage and do whatever you got to do. But don't miss your opportunity and your time. You get old. Same thing I say for En Vogue. Don, what's your ass doing? Because I know you the diva, Don, because I saw that R&B diva. Because I know your ass is the diva. Get your ass out here with your group. No offense, Ramona. Ramona could sing her butt off. And listen, En Vogue had everybody on their feet. And it was for nostalgia because we loved En Vogue. But I'll tell y'all, y'all look disconnected. I watched. I looked at everything on stage. The only reason that people were singing and stuff, because y'all can still sing. Ramona can sing real good. But I wonder if y'all are any of y'all's friends. Now, funny, Cindy and Terry look connected because they've been doing it for years together. But y'all did look disconnected from Maxine. And y'all had on two of the same dresses, and she had on, like, a little youthful leather outfit. And I was like, what's this going on? Y'all supposed to be in vogue. What? Just because you almost 60 don't mean you can't dress your ass off. You better look at SWV. They be coming out serving. Okay? What is y'all doing? Who's them little silver dresses y'all had on? They was ugly. And y'all were in vogue. And then the younger ones, which is slightly younger than y'all, was dressed in like a little, it looked such a disconnected mess. But if it wasn't for the love for your music and your beautiful voices, we probably would have been, you know, people would probably not have paid no attention. But you need, you other two girls who are holding out, what the fuck y'all doing? You only get one life and you get one shot at a group like Envo, which y'all would. One shot in time. You don't live, look at this girl pass away today and 46 years old. And y'all bum asses is sitting up here arguing over, well, see, we didn't in the studio, you know, I didn't get to leave like I wanted. You can bring your old ass out here and get back at your group. In Vogue did decent. But it ain't going to be the same without the other two. The other two, when it hit, it ain't nothing like when Dawn come out and they she be singing, what's it going to be? Or when they all together and they be singing, give it yourself. It was nothing like them girls. The best girl group of all time. Destiny's Child would never. I said it. What's their name? What's the other girl's name? That's the biggest group of all time. What's the largest selling? What's their name? TLC. Could never. Listen, all them kids just could sing. All of them was in Vogue. Every last one of them was in Vogue. I mean, all of them, every last one of them was Beyonce. It wasn't no one Beyonce. Every last one of them chicks was Beyonce. Oh, it'll be never a girl group like that. And y'all going to ruin it. Ruin the moment. But y'all did good, okay? Next up, I got a few minutes. Who was next up? In Vogue, Kim. Kim, ain't nothing I can say. It was great. I'm glad you got rid of the dancers. Kim, you a whole vibe. You all of that. You was the best, second best next to Fantasia. You did that. Okay, nothing like it. You did such a wonderful job. I ain't nothing else I can say. Your playlist was all that. It was heavy. The audience was into you. We was flowing with you. We was dancing with you. We was out there grooving with you, man. We was singing with you. We was with you. You know how to put the hit through hit after hit after hit after hit. You did that. And the band was fierce. Whew. It was fierce. It's probably the fiercest one. Fiercest one of the whole thing, okay? New Edition. New Edition, never a bad word. Let me tell y'all, when I say you guys came and you did a great, an excellent show, you guys did such a wonderful show. You guys did a great job. There was nothing wrong with your show. You did awesome, okay? New Edition, you started out and you did, you just did so well. I mean, for guys who are in their 50s now, I mean, there's nothing like you, nothing that I have, I mean, you got Ronnie, Ricky, and Mike background for everybody dancing wise. They were still getting it in, okay? Bobby, listen. Bobby got out there and was doing his steps. Bobby, you keep dancing like that, you're going to lose that weight, baby. Bobby was out there. Bobby crisscrossed his legs. Bobby did the every little step dance, okay, the full one. And then Bobby's voice was sounding good. Hey, listen, Johnny's always singing. Ain't nothing ever bad about Johnny Gill singing. Johnny is like a Fantasia. He not quite. I can't give her him that. But she's like a Fantasia for a New Edition, okay? But listen, y'all still handsome. I'm screaming. Ricky, you still my favorite. Ronnie, you still my secret crush. I mean, I love the whole everything. I just love everything. I was so happy. I felt like my little 12-year-old heart was just like ecstatic. It was a great show from beginning to end, how y'all came out, how y'all hit the stage, and how y'all talked to us and interacted with us. And BBD, when y'all drive, y'all did it. When y'all drive Do Me, Babe, everybody was hating the whole, y'all had the audience up. Y'all had the audience into it. Shout out to those three because, listen, I didn't like the audience how y'all was disrespecting Ralph during Sensitivity. Sensitivity is my ish. And Ralph, you should have came out saying money can't buy you love. I don't know what was up with that. But you should have, because Ralph, you only did one song. You had a few hits. But one thing I will say, I loved when the three of them were all doing background dance. They background danced for Bobby. They danced for Johnny. I think they didn't dance for Ralph as the only one, but they even said at the time, we dancing for everybody or whatever I'll say. So it was really good. And BBD is the more youthful side of the group, okay? So that's why I loved how they really took time to make that. That's the thing, okay? And let me just say this about y'all, New Edition. And Ralph, let me say this about you. Ralph, you are so appreciated. Ralph, you took on the group so early on in your life. Nobody knew you was doing laying them vocals by yourself all the time when the group was out playing and stuff like that. You are always a treasure. You are always a treasure. Johnny, you are a treasure coming into the group. I know we didn't like you at first. We was mad because we missed Bobby. But you came in, and like a trooper, you stayed in, and you got our heart, and we all fell in love with you. Listen, I am so glad. Bobby, I'm so glad you came back home to your group. I'm so glad you guys to see you guys all together. Y'all about that money. Y'all about them checks. I said, let's go get these checks. Let's go get these checks. I love it. Let's go get it together. And then we can do our separate thing. Oh, y'all know y'all so much better together than apart. Oh, my God, I'm so happy. I'm so happy I got to see y'all this time. Y'all met this music. Y'all healed my soul, okay? I'm so happy. I love every moment. There's not a time when I come to see New Edition that I don't transform into the 12-year-old girl that I was when I first fell for y'all. Okay, so I loved every song, every memory, taking me down memory lane. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was wonderful, wonderful. Y'all came, y'all owed me nothing. New Edition, y'all did that. King, okay? And it took y'all a long road because y'all was fighting and arguing too. Y'all was about to all bust up and do somebody over here doing this, somebody trying to. No, it's all of y'all. It's all of y'all that make up the beautiful story of New Edition. Especially y'all core that come from, not just the outstanding, but y'all come from, y'all five always, listen, stick together, love each other, and love Johnny, and keep all y'all just keep doing it together and do your thing separate too. But remember, y'all better together. Ain't nothing like y'all together. When y'all all together, and listen, Bobby, you did your thing. Bobby, what we call you, nickname Bobby King of R&B, when Whitney used to call you. Listen, Bobby, you did your thing. You proved that you was the man, okay? So you know what I'm saying. I'm so proud of you for coming back in your group, for what you endured. Man, I didn't think you'd be the dude to survive it. But Bobby, you a survivor. Bobby ain't no joke. Okay, all of y'all survivors, but Bobby, you ain't no joke. So I am so proud of all of y'all. I loved it. Thank you for a wonderful show. Thank you for putting on being the beautiful our beautiful childhood crushes and keeping us engaged and keeping us happy all these years later. I mean, thank you. That's all I can say. I really enjoyed it. There was, we was all up. We danced the whole time. We sang every song. I never sat down. We did every damn song. From Mr. Telephone Man to If It Isn't Love. We sang every damn song. And shout out to the young men that sat next to me and my whole row. Like, I had the most beautiful row. We were the only one, when we were leaving, we were the only rows that were hugging each other. Before we were like, no, we don't be here. I mean, because I sat in the row, we sat in the gold circle, we sat up close, and we had, everybody had the same tickets every night. So it was, so we all came together and sat together every night. And the next night, these two guys, they brought their mom. I think I want to say they were gay guys, but they were, oh, my God, they were so fly. Oh, my God, they were so fun. I mean, we danced, and we dropped in love. We was doing, we did the butt. He's like doing the butt. We had a great time, okay? Listen here, that our whole row, we prayed, the people behind us, they was partying. It was a vibe, okay? So I thank y'all so much. I'm so glad. I'm so grateful that I had a wonderful group of people around me I got to meet. Cincinnati, Maddie, you owe me nothing. You didn't. You did your job. Just make sure next time that the city of Cincinnati gives the Cincinnati Music Fest its props, okay? And Cincinnati Music Fest, get rid of that damn two stage. Ugly. I know y'all are thinking y'all rolling through the things, but it's really not good for this city. I'm just going to tell y'all, it'd be so. Watch. 1 year, just do it with one stage and watch what happens. Y'all gonna be like, wow, we never should have did that. Just do it. I know y'all think y'all going fast and rolling through the show, but do it. Don't do that no more, okay? All right, y'all, we come to the end of the show. Chad, I wasn't supposed to talk to y'all the whole time. I had what's happening. See, I had somebody coming up here I was knocking on the door, and I had to do something. They had to do something. And I'm listening. That's the only reason I wasn't supposed to stay this long, okay? But you guys, have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. I hope you enjoy it. I will try to come. I thought I was going to do Hot Topics tonight, but I wasn't able to, so I will do Hot Topics. Maybe I'll come on this week and do a Hot Topic show, okay? You guys, have a wonderful week. I will see y'all. We're going to leave out where, we're going to leave out with Maxwell, okay? I think I can get it. Okay, we're not going to leave out with Maxwell. We're going to leave out with Kevin Ross Looking for Love, okay? I'm out. I will see y'all. Bye.
Call me. Late in the night and I'm faded. Say that you're not going to make it. That's two times in a row for you. Feel so curving, it's overdue. Lately you're testing my patience. Baby, I think you must be mistaken. I could find me somebody new, but they won't compare the truth. Girl, you got me cocky, sloppy. You get underneath my skin, and it drives me to no end. Look it, I ain't worth.
That's my song right there, okay? Listen here. Them lyrics, whatever, listen here. I love a song that got good lyrics. I mean, the beat is, the behind it is dope, but, you know, I like the way he, when you find yourself, like back in the day or something, you in love with somebody who's messy. They be doing shit. They be like, you know, they be like, hey, it's just, you know, I love that he got a song that he talking about, hey, listen, you messy as hell. You like to stand me up. You like to do all kind of shit. But you know what? You know what? When you looking for love, girl, you know where you can find it. You can't be holding on to what was. You got to be willing to trust in something if you really looking for love. Man, he tell her off, and then he say, hey, he said, you worth the chase. I thought about it. Then you told me to leave you alone. I backed up. Listen here, that Kevin Ross is a bomb. Y'all not giving Kevin Ross enough love out here. I'm very disgusted by how people treat you, because Kevin Ross should be big. Kevin Ross should be out Kobe London right now. No offense to Kobe London, I like him, but Kevin Ross, y'all should have Kevin Ross. Everybody, Kevin Ross should be the man right now. Okay. Kevin Ross is consistently has one of the youngest R&B stars out there, put out good music that people just don't hear. He ain't got the lyrics. Oh my God! Hey, listen, he gonna be like a Victoria Monet. Y'all gonna find out about him when he done put out all these big hits. And then y'all gonna go back and have to revisit him. That dude all day. Every time I listen to his lyrics, I'm just transformed. I'm like, this is so sexy. Listen here, that's what I like. He's telling her, I was like, listen here, you know, he's looking for love. He said them dudes, they ain't like me. He said, you got up and running around with chumps, do whatever you want, but I'm not that. When you looking for love, you know, lady, you know, it's like can't be holding on to what it was. Oh my God, you bad. And don't even let me get into the song Sweet Relief. That's my song. Just sit back and let it play you. Oh, my God. Kevin, you so cold. Anyway, if you are listening to The Sound of My Voice, you are listening to The Archive Show. Listen, you guys can hit me up on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page. You can also hit me up on Instagram at Carly's_Galaxy. You can hit me up on Twitter at C Chatwood Show and Carlotta72, and on TikTok, Carlotta72, I think. Carlotta, or is it Carlotta C? Y'all know, just look at me. Shit, I don't know. Okay, but I know some of y'all follow me on TikTok. Okay? Follow me on TikTok. And a lot of you guys are following the page, but you don't like the page. Like the fucking page. Okay, on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page. Okay, I got a lot of y'all following me, but y'all ain't liking stuff. Like the page, okay? Shit. Hey, y'all. Whatever. All right, okay, so thank you guys for listening to me like you do every week. I appreciate y'all so much. Thank y'all for putting me up with me, you know, when I don't do shows, when I do them, when I... Thank you so much for y'all being patient and everything. I really thank you guys, okay? I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the week. Again, I said I would try to come through and do a part two for the hot topics of the week. I will try to do that. Ain't going to be no promises. I'm going to try to do that. Okay, so we're going to leave that with Maxwell. Hopefully a song he adds to his playlist. This for Serenade Tour. Let's leave out with Luxury Coco Q, okay? It's the CC Show. I'm Carlotta. Have a good one, y'all. See ya.
Ain't no other God since love.